Hello, everybody. Welcome to this is officially the number 14 episode of What's for Dinner. Last week, I called it number 12 when it was 13. I never know the exact number of the episode.
Got a lot of emails about that. People were like, this is bullshit.
People were unsubscribing. They're like, I can't trust you right from the beginning. Well, now I promise you, loyal listeners, this is number 14, What's for Dinner. And this week, I'm doing something that I have not done since, I think, episode 2 with my old partner, David Nickerson. That is doing the podcast from my living room, as opposed to the bedroom slash studio, because Allison and I, we recently got recliners in the living room, and it's so fucking comfortable. I said, I got to try to do the podcast from out here. And the issue last time was, for whatever reason, doing the podcast in the living room, there was this, the audio quality was like I think if there's an audio god, he wiped his ass with that podcast. It sounded like shit. So this one, I checked, double-checked. It sounds pretty good. So I am, fingers crossed, this is going to all turn out to be wonderful. And couldn't think of a better way to have the good-sounding living room slash studio podcast, the inaugural living room slash studio podcast, with my guest this evening. This is also a very late night podcast. We are doing this at 1 o'clock in the morning. My guest at 1 o'clock in the morning is a very funny, talented.
I'm tired. No, I'm not tired.
I'm not tired. You were eager to do this.
Yeah.
My good friend and brilliant comic, Darren Carter, everybody.
Hey, guys. How are you? It's me, Darren Carter, from the Dick and Darren Comedy Podcast.
That's the man who knows how to plug.
Yeah.
First words are plugging his own podcast.
Hey, guys, it's me from DarrenCarter.com. 2 CDs on iTunes. I got 10 seconds. Go look at me up on YouPorn. Just kidding. We don't want to even mention that, because then people will be like, fuck this podcast. Let me watch Top 10 Seconds.
Porn. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, that's a website I've bookmarked. I'm kidding.
Are there redheaded porn stars? Have you ever seen one?
You know what's funny is I don't think there are. I think there's a lot of female redheaded porn stars.
Yes.
But I don't think there's a lot of male porn stars with red hair. And if they are, it's probably like gay porn.
That's true. I mean, not that I'm a huge connoisseur, but I've seen my fair share of porn. I can't remember. Yeah. Countless redheaded women, you're right. But redheaded guys, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know what that is. I don't know. Maybe callers, call us now and tell us why.
This isn't live, so I don't know who you're going to call.
That'd be funny if they actually called you, and it's like a month later after this thing gets put out there, and you're like,
dude, I'm redheaded, and I did porn.
You're like, what the fuck is this, man, you creep? No, you brought it on. You asked me. People do that, though, right? Because I'm on Twitter, and I'll mention some jokes, or I'll do something on Twitter, and there's a few people that reply to me, but I don't know if they check their Twitter once a week. And they're responding to jokes I've written like 6 days prior, and I'm like, what the fuck are they talking about? Oh, okay, that's a reference to my joke about candy from Thursday or something.
Yes, and it's now Wednesday of 3 weeks later.
Yeah,
but I guess better. At least they're listening.
Yeah,
yeah. I guess.
Or yeah.
How many followers do you have on Twitter now?
Twitter, I think I have like I'm closing in on 50,000.
Wow,
which will be nice.
My 50, Jesus.
Yeah. That's pretty cool. I'm actually lying, but I wanted to say 50,000, so people will go see, and then they'll be like, oh, he's lying, and then they'll just follow me.
They'll feel
sorry for me. They'll be like,
so your followers are the ones that like to follow liars.
Yeah. I shouldn't say I was lying. I was exaggerating the truth by about 48,000. Yeah, I think I've got like 2,000 or something. I have 20. I don't know. Let's check.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he's actually checking his Twitter right now.
Yeah, let's do this, guys. You guys are on the edge of your seats waiting to.
This is why people tune in to see how many followers my guests have.
All right, Darren Carter @DarrenCarter.
And while Darren Carter is
also look at Flip.
Twitter.
Flip is great. How do you find you on Twitter, Flip?
Oh,
Flip is funny. No, Flip. No, it's like a funny.
It's just
thing.
Flip Schultz.
Flip Schultz.
Yeah, which is a funny name, I suppose. But this is intense radio here.
Here we go.
What's the number going to be?
Survey says
2,936 followers. Nice. So you're almost at 3,000.
Yes. Which is, by the time I get 3,000, I'm sure Twitter will be old. It's like, I had 25,000 people on MySpace, and then everyone just went away like scared little deer.
MySpace is so, it really, when you think about how far and fast MySpace has fallen over the past couple of years, like Facebook, like just, the second rape joke, Facebook just fucking raped MySpace out of the social media thing.
Yeah.
I know, I had like, I think it's just over 5,000 MySpace friends. And MySpace has become kind of like that neighborhood that you used to live in. And then every so often you'll drive through going, oh, yeah, that was my house over there. What a piece of shit.
Do you even go back? I,
I honestly can't remember the last time
I used to go back like once a month, once every. I haven't. You're right. I probably haven't been back in months.
Is it? But I honestly.
I had an audition. They wanted me to audition to be the voice of or in the face or whatever of MySpace, and I was like. Number one, I don't think I'm what your demographics. You know,
What would the voice of MySpace sounded like? Did you have something prepared like a MySpace?
It was character? A lot of dialogue, and I'm like, I'm not going to waste my time memorizing this shit because I'm not going to get it anyways. And plus, I don't know if it's good for my career to be associated to be the spokesperson for MySpace.
Like, I'm Darren Carter for Carbon Paper.
Yeah, exactly.
Please,
you know,
please
for Carbon. Yeah. Hey guys, when you get a typewriter, call Darren Carter. You know, it's like. I don't know. And it's funny because there's another buddy of mine. He's 29 years old. I think he's 29. And I go, dude, they want someone like you. You know, they want some young guy that's like, you know,
you relate very well to the younger demographic. I see, like Darren, over the summer, I don't know about you, but like one of my favorite times of the year is summer only because they get the teen tours.
Oh, at the improv.
Which is basically for any it is what it sounds. It's like a summer camp on wheels for kids, and they go around the country, usually California, and part of their tour, part of their trip, is to come to the improv and see comedy. And the club knows who works well with those audiences and who doesn't, or who prefers to work them and not.
Yeah.
And I love doing it, and I know Darren does too. And you kill at those all the time because you really you're very like up on what's. Cool, like as far as music goes.
Yeah, there's a lot of 13 to 16 year olds, you'd say, is the majority of the audience.
That's how old she told me she was, yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. It's funny because everything you're saying is totally 100% true. But the only thing I'd have to say is, you know, now that we have our, you know, my wife and I, we have a son, and I notice I'm you know, just relating more to, you know, being a father. And I did this really hip Hollywood room for Jay Davis. It's called The Parlor.
Oh, The Parlor.
And that room, they're like, it's like young Hollywood. They're all 21 to 29, most, I would say the majority. And a lot of them are really, really good looking, and they want to, you know, be actresses and stars.
Yeah.
And I felt so freaking old one day. I'm up there talking about teaching my kid the days of the week by showing him Happy Days on YouTube. Sunday, Monday. And they were just looking at me like, what? And then... You know, and I'm talking about Fonzie, and I could tell they kind of knew Fonzie, but then I said, my little boy looked at me and he goes, it's Ralph Mouth. And they just didn't get it. And then I went into like, talked about how we went to the Muppets, and my little boy called me Beaker. And they were just like, it was weird. Like these people were, I don't think they could relate to it. It was weird.
You're right.
You know, isn't it funny? Like, and it wasn't that long ago. Like, how, you know,
you'd think
they must have been born in like what, 90, 92, if they're that age, which is weird, right?
Yeah, that's when I graduated.
So they didn't really start forming like solid memories of till after 9/11, maybe. In a way, right? Because you're.
What's the first thing you remember? Death.
Death, towers.
And war, and
yeah,
suicide.
But even that, I don't think they can relate because I have a cousin who graduated high school that year of 9/11, and. I was all depressed and glued to the TV. He didn't even give a shit. He was like, oh, it's way over there in New York. And get this. That December, he moved from Fresno to New York City.
I'm like, are you... Of 01?
Yeah. 9/11. Like 3 months later, he moved to New York City.
The real estate market had to be great, though. Too
well,
soon?
There was like... there was like five of them living in Brooklyn. And, you know, and he went there to be... I don't know. I think he went there to be a stand-up comic. And he ended up just being a waiter. And
wait, he's got an uncle who's a stand-up comic out here. Yeah, and he decided to go all the way across the country to start from scratch.
Yeah, it was
I mean, I'm not one for nepotism or anything.
I know. It's like, come on,
you got a foot in the door. At least I know. Take advantage of the foot.
And he was there for like I think 5 years. And it was funny because at the time his dad, my uncle was like, you know, it's almost like because he was just going there and I think just like partying and being a waiter and playing video games. And he goes, it's like he's at his high school graduation party, but he's just living in it for 5 years. Like, they're just partying, and God, I wish I never would have shown him these video games. And, you know, luckily, my cousin got his shit together, came back. Well, he got fired as a waiter, and he just knew his life was going nowhere. And he went back, put himself through school, got accepted to CalArts, and he just graduated CalArts.
Oh, very cool.
And you know my cartoon, The Armenian Baby? That's on YouTube. If you've ever seen The Orange Armenian Baby.
No, I haven't seen it.
He drew that. He drew that his first year. And... Dude,
he drew like a cartoon series.
Oh gosh, yeah, it's really good. And in fact, he's like, yeah, I'm a little embarrassed by it because I'm better now. But I'm like, dude, are you kidding me? It's awesome.
Wow.
I'll see if I can pull it up real quick. I know.
Well, if anybody's listening, what's it under?
Yeah, go to YouTube and just look up Darren Carter cartoon, or look up Orange Armenian Baby Man.
Oh, now I want to look at this too.
Yeah, you know, maybe your computer's faster. Do you have a computer?
I do. It's hard to express through a through an audio podcast what we're seeing visually.
It's but I am doing the voice. If you could,
Hey, honey, Allie. Sorry, Allison. That was who I was calling to. She just left, and she's tired. She might be sleeping.
She's like, this podcast is putting me to sleep. I listen to a lot of podcasts, and there are certain podcasts I listen to while working out. There's other podcasts I listen to while I'm at the airport.
Yeah, you know,
some I fall asleep to, and it's not. It sounds like an insult. Like, but if I ever met Tim Conway Jr. from KFI,
he puts you to sleep
in a good way. You know, it's like, I know. See, it doesn't sound like a compliment. It doesn't. But there's something very soothing, relaxing, and entertaining.
You know, I want to kill you in a good way.
No,
You fill me with venom and rage, but in a very good way.
How would you feel like if people like, Flip, I love your podcast. I always, you know, I listen to it every night in bed, and you know, it's like, thank you.
Yeah.
I mean, after about 12 minutes of you, I fall asleep. You lull me into sleep, but it's relaxing. Like a certain that his podcast is really relaxing to me.
I get that. I used to.
And I listen to it during the day now, but at first I would only listen to that one at night. I don't listen to any other podcast at night. I'll tell you that. Because I think some of them are startling. Like right when you're drifting to sleep, they'll make some loud noise or some crazy sound effect.
Well, I think they're like. I wouldn't dare listen to any comedian podcast before I went to bed, just for that reason. And yeah. Also probably I'm too into what they're saying. But yeah, I could see my... I used to listen to a... I had a... Do you remember... do you know Rich Williams?
Yes.
He was like into hypnotism for a while. So he made me like a little hypnotism thing that I'd listen to.
Uh-huh.
Before I went to bed to help me with
every
something.
Every day and every way, you will not be attracted to pigeons anymore. That's funny.
Darren is pulling up his video on it. You're proud of this video, man.
You know, you probably have to look it up on a computer because there's something going on with my
phone.
Yeah,
I'll look it up.
Orange Armenian Baby Man.
Orange Armenian Baby Man.
I thought you'd seen it before.
No, I haven't.
It's cool. It's actually, it won some awards like in some Burbank Film Festival. But...
Oh, very cool, man. That's awesome. Well, speaking of Burbank, let me ask you this now.
I'll put this away.
Yep. Yeah.
You get the idea.
All good. Yeah, this is what you complain about on your own podcast is people looking at their phones while you're trying to talk to them, right?
No, I complain that, not complain, but I'm afraid that they'll think that we're, like, as we're talking and I'm looking something up, I'm afraid that they're going to think, like, oh, is he just checking his email or how many Twitter followers he has?
2,936.
Yeah.
Speaking of Burbank, the reason that this podcast is, again, it's now just a little after one, we're starting very late or early, depending on your point of view, because Darren just did two spots tonight at Flappers Comedy Club, which is 5 minutes away from the old homestead.
You live so close. It's like incredible.
It's great. I love it.
It's awesome.
I wish they'd book me there more. You did two spots tonight.
Yeah.
And I love it when I could do two spots, especially at the same club in one night.
Oh yeah.
You know, and it
because the first yeah.
No, but you were saying that there was a bit that you had in the first show.
Yeah, a new bit that I'm working on, and it killed last night. It was an Irvine Improv, and it was one of those beginner's luck thing. You know, mm-hmm. where you. You just say it, and they're laughing so hard, it's almost like...
They're kind
of
caught in the laugh.
Yeah,
and
you're like, okay, let me improvise. And you're improvising throughout them, and they're laughing even more. And I tried to duplicate that the first show tonight, and it didn't quite hit like I wanted it to. But I was able to get up again the second show, and it hit again. And I was like, yes. Even though there's less people than there was at the Irvine Improv, it was great.
Sometimes those are the best. Like, I never judge a crowd by their size.
Yeah.
I never do. I might kind of go, eh. But I never fully, like, say, oh, this is going
to
suck.
Yeah, the premise of that joke is just because, you know, I'm always dealing with trying to, like, you know we always deal with this, right? Like, doing more push-ups and trying to look better.
Oh,
and you and I had made these jokes before. And you gave me a great tag once. I go, yeah, my friend goes, dude, I feel okay when I stand up. And when I sit down, I've got a gut and some tits. And then you gave me this tagline where you go, ooh, have a seat.
Did I give you that?
Yeah. And then I act like I'm going to grab some boobs on the dude. Really? When you sit down, you get tits? Yeah. Really? Have a seat.
Does it work?
Yes. Yeah. Although I got to watch it. If I don't do it the right way, I just look creepy.
I don't think there's a way you could do that and not look creepy.
I know. I haven't done that joke in a while, but maybe I stopped doing it because I look too creepy. But
so what's the bit that you tried tonight?
The new bit is trying to get that six-pack for the summer. And I go, actually, I don't even want the six-pack for the summer. I just want to just for a quick photo, like, honey, quick, I got the six pack. Just take a picture. I want to make it my profile picture on Facebook or whatever. And I go, even if I just get the top two squares, I'll like, give me your eyebrow pencil. I'll shade in the rest. And then I say, imagine if that's your whole self-esteem, your whole self-worth is if you had a six-pack or not. You know, you're just, you're that one loser at those high school reunions. You know, like, it's your 30-year high school reunion. They're like, hey, Jimmy, how's it going? And then I slowly lift up the shirt and I go, phenomenal. You tell me, bro. And they're like, okay, that's great. You got a six-pack. It's awesome. Hey, you want to get some ice cream? I can't, bro. You want some French fries or pizza? No. Tomorrow's cheat day. What have you been up to? Just waiting for these reunions to roll around. All right, I'll see you fuckers in 9 years and 364 days. You know.
It's funny.
And it was funny, and it did good, and I added some little parts to it. And
you know what I, you know, yeah, what I was thinking when you're doing that?
Yeah. Is
when you go, like how's everything? Phenomenal. Oh, yeah. That's great. You want to get ice cream? No, I don't actually work. I have no money. I've just been doing sit-ups for 20 years. Yeah. I have no job. This is all I've been. This reunion is all I've been waiting for.
Just waiting for these reunions to roll around.
Yeah. Yeah.
So how'd you get here? I sit up. I did ab crunches all the way here from Cleveland.
Yeah, ab crunches. Yeah, you're right. There's something. See, I mean, it's funny. There's something. The whole premise of that.
Yeah, yeah.
Some dudes are like that. You know, it's very rare that guys are like that.
That's
but
why
are...
I don't work out at all. I have my priorities straight.
Priority straight.
Yeah, I don't. If I started doing sit-ups, I just wouldn't stop. My God,
there's no stopping him. He's a sit-up comedian.
I am. Ah, yeah. Look at
yeah.
that.
Yeah,
it's.
Is that good?
It's kind of funny. Yeah.
Hey, do you want a raise? I want leg raises, you know, or something. I mean, I know I can make this thing funnier. It's like funny, but I know you don't. Really, I know there's a lot of places where because the idea that they want to have ice cream or I want to think of something that's heavy carb. You know, hey, we're gonna go out for some pasta. I can't do it, bro.
Too much carbs.
Too much carbs. I don't want to lose my self worth. I've got what they call a butter face. I don't know.
Although there's no butter in there because that's too much cholesterol.
Too much cholesterol.
This is. I can't believe it's not butter face.
I can't believe it's not butter face. Yeah. And then the other one I did is more of a visual, but the idea is that, you know, when people send you a photo on Facebook of yourself and you didn't realize you were tagged in it and you're like, and you look like crap in it and you're like, oh man, untag me. And I go, you didn't even realize that there was a photo being taken, you know, it's like your eyes are, you know, you're sweaty, your eyes are red and you're in the background, you know, and they're like, it's like the person who's the star of the photo, they know they look good. And they're like, oh, cheese. And you're in the background, I like cheese, you know, and,
yeah, I know that's the word. Like, I didn't never like I've had those pictures where people have tagged me in it. I'm just in the background somewhere, like just happen to be looking.
Or like some fans after the show will send in the picture, and you're like, oh, can you at least take the red eye reduction out and put me, you know, make me look.
That almost seems like I was like oxymoron, but taking the red out of a redheaded.
Oh yeah, I would just disappear. Like every day,
you have no eyes.
Oh, I am reduced.
Just a shallow skull.
Yeah.
Oh, it's funny. Those are funny bits, man.
It's funny bits, and I want to get them funnier. And it feels good that, thank you, and that, you know, you got something new when you're, because, you know, isn't it worth, don't you get tired of your stuff sometimes where you know it's good and you're getting it tight and it's funny, but then you're just like, God, please give me something new to put some.
I was just thinking that tonight, like, I've been doing this, like, my closers, I rotate them when I come up with something really good, but I have my my fallback closer. I've been doing it for a long time, and It always comes in when whatever closer I had before that loses whatever luster. Usually it's a topical joke. That's why I close with it sometimes. But, like, I am so sick of this closer. I've been doing it for so fucking long.
And you know what? Yeah, I know. Somebody said, I listened to Ari Shaffir, and he was saying that, you know, if somebody, you know, sometimes we have these old bits, but then we add new tags. But he's like, what if you just got rid of those old bits and just
built on the tags.
Yeah, built. No, not even tags or old bits. Just something totally brand new, and then you put your creative energy into building that one. And that's something that takes tenacity. And I've forced myself to do that, you know. And it is hard.
Yeah.
But you're just like, okay, I got this new thing about the abs and the pictures. Let's just keep doing it. Just make sure it's strong and funny, you know, and build it up so it's as strong as some of, you know.
Totally. No,
the closers that I've been doing for a long time.
You've seen my book, right?
Yeah.
I've been going through my book and just looking at all these old jokes and all these old premises.
That's good, though. I mean,
yeah, that I either have never done, like never developed.
You didn't really flesh them out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know what was funny about it. It was just an idea. And, you know, now that I have like a couple more years under my belt, I'm like, okay, you know what? This is funny. And I think I know I can make this work now. Or, you know, maybe that idea leads me into another idea that I never thought of.
And sometimes, you know, what's funny is like, you can make things funny. It's funny coming from the age and things that you are now. Like it's funny when a man says it as opposed to a 24-year-old insecure comedian. It's like, you know.
Absolutely. Yeah, I've always had this if I ever told you this, my wiffle ball theory of comedy.
No, tell me.
You know what a wiffle ball is, right?
Yeah. A white ball with holes in it.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And to me, I look at a premise as a wiffle ball. And inside the wiffle ball is the punchline, you know? And the holes are different ways of looking at the premise. So I might like try to go through one hole to get to the center of the wiffle ball, and I hit a wall, you know, like the premise, whatever, the setup doesn't work, yeah. whatever. So I just look at it from another angle and try a different way to get into that, find that punchline. Sometimes I don't. I put the ball back on the shelf for a little while. Sometimes I fucking hit it, and I find another center in that center, almost like an atom into a quark kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I always try to do that, just look at every premise by as many angles as I can to see where I can go with it.
I like to look at my comedy like a bowling ball. There's three holes and everyone's fingers have been in it.
Sounds like your wife.
Hey, anyway, I tell you, all right, hello, okay, all
hello,
right.
Hello. you want to hear a new, just a quick side
yeah,
note?
Yeah, yeah, what do you got?
Skippy. I got a new Skippy Green bit.
What is it?
All right. So, you know, Pete, a lot of young comics ask me all the time. They go, Skippy, Mr. Green, do you have any advice for me? And I go, yes. Matter of fact, I do. I have a piece of advice for any young comic listening. This is something that I wish somebody told me when I first started comedy, as opposed to having to learn it for myself after over 50 years in the business. Here it is. When you play a club for the first time, you need to find and befriend two specific people in that club. The first is a sound guy, because he's usually the one with the best drug connections. Anything from pot to blow, he'll take care of you. Number two, talk to all the waitresses and find out which one has a reputation for, quote, giving the comedian a ride back to the condo. She's also the one who usually has a child but no husband. Those two people will be your best friends for that week.
What about security? What about security guard? Do you make friends with one of the security guards so they can throw someone out?
No. I never have to deal with that. Yeah. Nobody ever dares fuck with me. I will berate them verbally.
And physically.
And then physically with my cock.
Yeah.
My cock is a registered lethal weapon in 39 states.
Is there a 10-day waiting period for it?
For most women, yes. Only because the line's that long. Speaking of chicks, I don't know.
His wife just walked by.
Yes, my... I think that I'm not sure if that's funny or if it's too inside.
I think it's funny. Yeah. Yeah, Sometimes it is good to have jokes for comedians.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, you know? God, yeah.
Some guys do it too much, though.
Too like, back of the room?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what? I've always had that, like...
Do they? I don't know. Maybe they do it too much, I think, in my opinion, but then maybe they're loved by other comedians, so they put them in all their projects.
Well, see, here's, like, I look at Andy Kindler.
Yeah.
I love Andy Kindler.
Yeah. I loved him until he didn't like me on Last Comic Standing audition. Then I was like, oh, but maybe I would love him again if I saw him. But
what did he say to you on your audition?
Oh, of course they, you know, like.
Did they show that?
No. Okay. No. But Greg Giraldo was very nice to me. So even though they didn't pass me, Greg Giraldo, he goes, not to say that you're not going to go on to, you know, big and great things. I just don't think you're right for this competition. And he said it kind of apologetic, like he was almost like, I've seen your work and I know you're very funny. I know you're very funny, Darren, but just for this particular competition, I don't think you're right. But not to say you're not going to go on to do big things. And I was like, nice. Oh, thank you. And then and then Andy Kindler goes, he goes, not my taste in comedy. And I was like, ugh, like, duh. Like,
well, see, that's, yeah. I've always said that you can't, comedy is subjective.
Yeah.
There is no way to truly judge comedy. You could judge singing by saying they were on pitch.
Yeah.
You know, they their vibrato, the notes, whatever.
Yeah, because somebody may not like, let's say, Larry the Cable Guy, but then there's 50,000 people that do in these arenas. I mean, it's...
Exactly.
You know?
Like, there's not one specific correct way. The only stipulation in comedy is that people, not all people, just some people find it funny.
Yeah.
You know, doesn't matter if it's Larry the Cable Guy, Darren Carter, Andy Kindler, Andy Kaufman, me. It doesn't. As long as.
Flip Schultz.
Yeah. Well, I said me. Did you think I was talking about the Asian comic? Me. Hello, me.
I know. Why am I saying your name? They went to the trouble of downloading it. They know who you are. I'm like plugging it just in case somebody's walking by hearing a podcast on someone's earbuds. I don't know. Like,
That would be the scariest person. Hey, what are you listening to in your earbuds? Yeah. Is that a podcast? Can I? Who is it? Oh, thank God they said his name.
Who is this me they're talking about? Me.
This is me. I am Asian comic me.
Have you found this yet where you have to explain what a podcast is to people?
Not yet, no.
I was at Best Buy and this guy goes, dude, I love your comedy. And I was like, thank you. And then the next question, he goes, where are you going to be? And I'm thinking, this is when we first started on the podcast. And I'm like, I didn't, you know, where am I going to be? I'm going to be not here. I'm going to be some other town, some other state. So I'm thinking, dude, I got a podcast. He goes, oh, really? I go, yeah. I go, you know what a podcast is? He goes, not really. And I go, oh, it's great, dude. It's like a radio show that's like, you could download it and listen to it. He's like, radio show? He started looking puzzled.
What's a radio? It's like Morse code, but with words.
And it'll make you laugh, and it's on demand. And you, some of them you go to sleep to, and some of them you go to the treadmill to. And
listen to Tim Conway Jr. if you have trouble sleeping, bro. Yeah. Fucking put you to sleep.
I'm going like six steps in. I'm like, dude, you got Stitcher Radio? And he's like, no. And I go, okay, there's this app. I'm like, fuck it. I go, iTunes. Do you have iTunes? And he's like, I think so. I go, you have a Mac? I go.
So you're giving this guy a tech support.
I know. And he was just there with this kid at Best Buy, and he's like, you know what? I got to go now, bro. And I was like, yeah, I know. And then it's funny because I didn't, and then one day I was hanging out with my partner from the Dick and Darren show, Dangerous Dick, and he started laughing. And he goes, dude, every time I see you, you're plugging the podcast. I'm like, yeah, that's what I'm trying to, you know, get this thing going. And he goes, but it's funny because, like, I watch people, their face goes from, like, excitement when they see you to, like, to get, you're giving them headaches. You're giving them work to do, you know?
Do you have a, how many episodes you say you had?
I think we have 157.
157?
Yeah.
So, okay, let me
And you've done it several times. And guys, if you like Flip, and I know you do, that's why you're listening, go scroll through and find out when he was on. You're some of our highest rated episodes.
Oh really?
So funny.
Oh thanks, man. I would love to do it. Actually, I was saying that have you haven't had Allison on your
podcast. You guys both come on.
Yeah, I think it'd be
that'd
fun.
Be awesome. You know what? I would think it'd be kind of funny, like to hear wives of comedians like having a podcast.
Well, that's what's funny is like,
wouldn't that be interesting? I think there'd be, you know.
Why don't you bring your wife?
I'll bring my wife.
You bring your wife.
PK's
I'll bring my
wife. Paul Kim, all the wives, you guys go on there.
Wait, but I'm going to sound, is this going to sound yucky with the...
Just keep hold the microphone, Allison.
Hello, everybody.
Hi,
it's me.
So yeah, that'd be fun, like a wife.
Like Adam Carolla, how his wife has a podcast.
Does she really?
Yeah, oh gosh. It used to be called the Parent Experiment. Now it's called For Crying Out Loud, I think.
Can you change the name of your podcast? Or do you have, seriously?
I think so.
Are you
I don't know why.
I still keep what you've already had?
I think so. I think that she changed it because people were complaining that they weren't talking enough. It was funny. It was her and her first partner, who was, I think, Teresa Strausser, which was Adam Carolla's old sidekick on The Morning Show. And so people were complaining, like, yeah, what do you guys know about raising kids? You guys all have nannies and you live in mansions. You know, and they were like, yeah.
Yeah, it's a good point.
Barry Katz's wife was her partner.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it was Barry Katz's wife, and they had a podcast, and, you know, and now she got rid of her, and now it's now it's Adam Carolla's wife and somebody else, Stephanie Wilder, I think, who's a comedian, an older comedian who had, I don't know.
Name is vaguely familiar.
Yeah. When I say older, I mean she's not like, you know.
No, not older, but she's been around for a little while. Yeah,
experienced and has credits and stuff. Yeah.
No, the name's definitely familiar. Because like Allison, not only is she my wife, she herself is also a comic. So it's like, it's very cool that she.
How does that work? Like when you guys think of something funny, do you guys, hey, can we share it? Or do you guys, you know.
No, well, what's great is she's a musical act.
Oh.
So she basically just writes.
You guys did something really funny. I was on the road and they go, yeah, they were just here. And it was, they did this funny thing.
Was it Matt? Were you at Madhouse?
So I think so, yeah.
Yeah, we just.
We worked with Dick. Dick was our host.
Dick oh,
was
cool!
In San Diego, Madhouse Comedy Club.
Nice.
And what we do after our show, and you could see this on YouTube too, if you look under my page, YouTube/FlipSchultz, look for the video called "A Love Duet."
Mm.
And basically, Allison and I wrote a parody of Love Shack called Nutsack. And when we do,
he does the best Fred Schneider impression you'll ever hear. He sounds just like him.
Fred Schneider.
He sounds
Who's
just
that
like
guy that's like, oh,
F, yes, the F, A, it's the sign on the side of. I can't be too loud because
that's good.
We're in my apartment in a
23 well, it's about to
but it's basically sale. Like him fighting with me that if I'm giving him a blowjob and I have to pay attention to the nutsack. Oh. So it's this whole like B-52's battle of yeah, it's
but with the gayest sounding nut guy
sack,
ever.
Maybe
suck
nuts.
My dick, you fucking horn.
People must love it.
It's, well, you know what's it's, even more? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, remember it's what's for dinner with Flip Schultz.
I'm sorry.
Jesus Christ.
I'm sorry. I make you dinner, so I feel like she I'd does, have a say in it.
Makes me dinner. shit. What was I about to say?
About
husband
our,
and wife comedy teams. Nutsack.
At the end of the show, I was gonna just. Yeah, the nutsack.
Oh, you were saying that it killed. Yeah, no, you know, because what's great is Allison will go up a feature and yeah. do like you know 25-30. These dirty songs, talk about having a man, but never get specific. Then I get up there, do my bits, and talk about my wife, but never say it's her until the very end of my set.
Wow.
I said my wife has the coolest job in the world. She works at a medical marijuana dispensary and sings dirty songs on the guitar, and she talks about selling pot legally. Yeah. So the audience goes, oh.
Light bulb
at first they don't even believe it, though. They think that we're just putting them on. Am I on?
Yeah, yeah.
It's like the light bulb goes on. Or in your case, the black light bulb. Like
the black light. Ha, ha, ha. That's a pot joke. but yeah, they get it.
Do they still use black lights to grow marijuana in closets?
Not that I've seen.
Black lights to grow marijuana?
No, not black lights. No, what is that thing where people would used to put marijuana in closets and then...
That's just like an artifact.
There's grow lights where they have like timers that would go off at certain times and on at certain times. Oh. Or whatnot. They might have used black lights at some point.
Maybe not black light, but there's something. I used to do a joke like that like 20 years ago. You know, like, hey, my smoking uncle was like, son, you're growing like a weed. And when I say that, I mean, you know, like a marijuana plant hidden in my closet or something. Sort of like
that. That's funny.
Is it funny? Should I bring it back?
Yeah, you're going. Yeah.
Yeah. I had a bunch of little silly jokes, you know, when you first start out. I go, I used to go deer hunting with my dad and his friends. They'd all have deer rifles. I'd have a deer costume.
Do you, okay, let's play this game.
Yeah.
Do you remember the first joke you ever told, like your first time on stage?
Yes. Yes.
What was the year?
Yes. The year was 1989.
What was the first joke?
First joke. It was a comedy contest, and it was at the Bucket, which is at Fresno State, which I didn't attend, but I lived in Fresno, went to Fresno City College. And I was going to do like a parody of a beer commercial.
Okay.
And the idea is I would do this. I was going to go, do you like to drink beer? I mean, really like to drink beer. And Flip, I'm telling you, man, it was a rush. Because I didn't think they were going to laugh until the punchline at the very end. But when I go, do you like to drink beer? I mean, it's college kids, right? And they're like, yeah! Wow! I mean, that's, and I was like, whoa. And then I got into it even more. I mean, really like to drink beer. They're like, yeah. And then here's the punchline. I go, I'm talking hard hitting, heavy working, sledgehammer, jackhammer, dirty fingernail, lunch pail, tobacco chewing, rope and ride. I know it rhymed, I forget. Rope and riding, cussing, cursing, sweating, spitting, stomping, stunning, running, gutting, hooting, tooting, shooting, footing, biting, roping, whatever, riding. I'm talking beer for a real man. A real man, like. And then here's how old this shit was. Ben Cartwright. He's from Bonanza.
Of course.
John Wayne. And here's my big punchline. And Roseanne Barr. You know, which is, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that was my big, like, ta-da. And then from there, God, all this, it was funny because I was, at the time, I was talking, going with TV shows from my childhood, which was only like 10 years prior. Mm-hmm. But now it's like, frick, this stuff seems old. And I go, they should remake TV shows, like have Chips with an all-new cast.
And, dude, I did
right?
The
did
same,
you do that really? You did?
I think it was my very first time on stage. I have this on tape, too. One of the bits was recasting Star Wars with the stars of today. And it was like...
the stars of today, which are probably old now.
Yeah, it was not because it was 92.
With
so I'm
Screech,
like,
you know, you're like...
No, it was like Jerry Seinfeld as Luke Skywalker.
That's good.
What's the deal with the Force? You're on the dark side, you're on the light side. Can I be in the middle? Is there a gray side of the Force? what else was there? It was like George Bush, first George Bush as Darth Vader, but I was basically ripping Dana Carvey off. Like,
yeah,
not gonna do
yeah,
it.
I'm
prudent.
Your father. I'm your daddy. Your dad. And and then the one that I thought was really clever was Ricardo Montalban as C-3PO.
Yeah,
No, I'm sorry. Hervé Velasquez is R2-D2, and I go,
DeForce, yeah. DeForce. They're forcing me to do this.
That's good.
And then Ricardo Montalban is C-3PO, which was, yes, they're forcing all of us here on Fantasy Death Star, or something stupid
with
like
real
that.
Real Corinthian leather.
Yeah.
Corinthian leather, my friends.
Yeah. But see, I would do John.
I guess every comic when they start has some kind of variation.
Because you probably had hundreds and hundreds of and thousands of hours as a kid watching the television, you know, all summer vacation and watching TV. So then when you get out in the real world to be a stand-up, like all you have to do is you're drawing on your own experiences, which is watching television. You know. So
now let me ask you this: when do you remember like when you first figured out who you were on stage? Like, I think most every comic mm-hmm. kind of starts with a blank slate, like you're saying, just taking experiences that they've had throughout their lives as far as pop culture references.
Yeah, mine was all self-deprecating impressions and I guess I still kind of do some of that, but back then it was really,
now your act is very specific. Your character is very defined. Even though you talk about like being a father, mm-hmm. being a husband, whatever, you still do it with this character, with this like, I guess the best way to kind of put it, it's like a wigger.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
You come across very hip hop, very, and you do an amazing Snoop Dogg impression, which the whitest redheaded, just whitest guy kills a Snoop. I mean, I've seen you destroy urban rooms doing that.
You know, it's so funny, man. Thank you. I got a new voiceover agent. I'm with Innovative Artists, and it's great, man. They have their own floor, their own studio, and I mean, they got like five agents, and supposedly they're like the real deal. And I'm hoping to really land some good stuff. You know, I actually booked something for MTV once where I did Snoop Dogg, and I got fired because I still got paid, and that they told me this. I don't know if they were saying this to be nice, but they told me that I sounded too much like him, and they wanted it to be more exaggerated. So I was like, that's cool.
That's cool.
You know, that's
come from MTV.
It's funny. Yeah. And I just thought about that story recently because I have a voiceover agent. So I'm starting to think more about voices and
so this
voices.
Is like a Snoop Dogg cartoon you're supposed to do?
No, it was some kind of MTV thing where I forget the name of the show. Was it? No, it wasn't Dogs and Cats. It was something Jeffrey Ross was on. Jeff Ross used to do. Something. But it was like they were going to have a Snoop character come in and let me stand up for this. He was supposed to be like, oh, wait, not to whip or to do it. It's the take or top or cheat, whatever the fuck. But, you know,
I'm glad you stood up for that.
Yeah, because if I'm sitting down, I'm like, hey, Snoop with a full stomach. I just had some water. No,
fully. So do you remember when you decided to go that route as far as that character on stage, or did it just come to you one time? You went, oh shit,
yeah,
this
just
is
kinda
working. Or were you like that off stage and you decided to bring it?
Well,
on stage?
I've been able to, you know, I guess you know it's funny. Like, someone told me I have like. You know, because I'm not afraid to ask questions, and I guess it's sort of like a childlike wonderment, mm-hmm. as somebody told me. And I'm like, oh, okay, I guess that's what I have. And I don't know if that stems from me growing up. You know, I grew up in a foster home. And I guess it was super, my childhood was very sheltered. And, you know, and I didn't have a lot of help when I became an adult, like as far as like getting out in the real world. Like I had to kind of learn on my own. You know, a lot of naivete. So I guess I just approach my comedy like that, and I don't really want to. It's funny, like I don't really want to hurt people, you know, with my jokes. Like I'm not like some people are really good at like using their wit as a weapon, but I'm always like, I don't want to do that. And it's so I guess my comedy kind of comes from I don't know. Like, does that even make sense? I'm not good at describing comedy. Like I like just do it, like, even if I'm describing this right.
Well, I'm fascinated by the story so far.
Okay, okay,
you're doing something good.
Thank you.
So, I mean, your comedy.
Well, the beatboxing. Okay, like I was, I used to go into my room and just, I love like those early rappers like Run DMC, LL Cool J, Houdini, and I would.
I didn't realize Houdini was a rapper.
Houdini, friends, doom, 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 yeah.
Oh, I was talking about the escape artist.
Yeah. By the way, apparently he would kiss his wife, and then she would have a key in her mouth, and slip him the key, and that's how he would undo the handcuffs.
Oh, really?
That's what I read. I don't know. But I would add kind of a musical element, like, some people aren't just listening to me talk. I can be like, adding some of that, and I guess just with my, I don't know. I really don't know where my comedy thing comes from, you know.
So you just basically, yeah. You went from like self-deprecating impressions to suddenly kind of hip-hop, wigger kind of thing.
Kind of. Then I kind of got out of that because it's like I'm not really into the hip-hop music anymore. Like,
but you still do that. You still kind of play that, like when you do the, like, well, even the bit about your son being born with like the unibrow.
Oh, yeah.
Hello, ladies. And, you know, even though you're playing like an Armenian kind of character, there's still like an essence of like smooth.
Yeah, come on, bro. Look at me. Yeah, like that. When he's like, because my wife's Armenian and she grew up on a farm. I call her my little farmenian. So the joke you're talking about is where he's half our, you know, we were scared, like, what's he going to look like? You know, is he going to be in the hospital? You know, like, how is this mashup going to go, this remix? You know, half Armenian, you know, half redhead. Is he going to come out, like, angry with an orange in a brow? And that's where I have him pop out. Come on, bro, look at me. I'm hungry. I want hummus. Inch bestes. Sude, sude, sude. Hamen pan sude. Aisha is honey man. Shamen pan sude. Honey, what is he doing? I want to go clubbing in the nursery. Come on, bro. Give me some cologne. Do you want a pacifier? I want hookah. And so, yeah, we do that character. But, I know what you're saying. Where I give it, you know, like, my characters have a little bit of flavor or something, they would say. Yeah.
So do you think, like, being a father has kind of matured your comedy to kind of leave behind that little hip-hop thing?
Yeah, I would say so. Like,
How does that affect you? Because, like, we don't have kids or anything. I have a niece who I love to death. Yeah. But she lives in Florida, so I'm not around her constantly. I would imagine if I had a child with me all the time, that couldn't help but influence my comedy.
Yeah, it's really, I mean, it is, and it's awesome. Like, he is an imitator. Like, he likes to do his own impressions and imitate. And it's so freaking fun, man. It's like...
How old is he?
He's 4 and a half now.
Oh,
so imagine, like, you know... having like a duplicate of yourself, but like, you know, like now he's running around the house going, "We are comedians." It's cool. And then the first thing I do when I wake up in the morning, I go and I grab a drink of water. He grabs his drink of water, and then as I drink it, he drinks his. And then sometimes we click, you know, my cup to his sippy cup, and we go, cheers. And it's cool. It's cool, man. And you know, and when you have a kid, the jokes do write themselves. You know, and it's like. Like, what did he do the other day? And like, here's something that, okay, we were at the grocery store and I looked up at this telephone wire and there was two construction workers up there. One had an orange vest with the orange helmet and the other one had on the yellow vest and the yellow helmet. And I go, look at those construction workers way up there. And in his limited life experience, he sees the orange and yellow and he goes, it's Bert and Ernie. Oh. And that was totally happened. That was a cute moment. And so I brought that to the stage and I go, it's Bert and Ernie. And they laughed, and I thought, oh, I could probably push this further. And then so I paused, and I go, now how he knew those two guys were gay?
Ah.
You know what I mean? So I had a little...
Very funny.
But, I mean, he wrote, like... I mean, he didn't write, but 90% of it...
He's writing
it. Yeah.
Dad, I got a great tag for you. You ever thought about poo-poo?
Yeah.
Tagging it was just poop.
Yeah. But they do stuff like, okay, and, like, you know, kids go through this defiant stage where they want to argue about everything. You know, like, you say something, and they say the opposite when they're growing up. And the other day he was at the grocery store with my wife and she goes, look, honey, it's ketchup. And he's like, no, catch down. And he called ketchup, catch down. You know, just stuff like that, you know.
Smart, though. It's smart that you
she does
catch
the same
that.
Thing.
Does she really?
Yeah.
Argues about everything.
No, she just makes stupid jokes.
Moo.
Isn't it funny how you can not hear something correctly and then that'll be a joke, like you mishear, you know?
Dude,
have you had that happen?
I've had it happen many times, but this one time I've actually done on stage once or twice, but it's a true story. I'll try to make it shorter. I was out on a date with this girl, and we were at dinner, and we just finished, and we were still talking. She said something, and I said, what'd you say? And she goes, nothing. And she was just being smart about it. Obviously, it was something she wanted me to hear, but she's like, oh, nothing. And I said, if you don't tell me what you're going to say, I'm going to get up and leave. And she just didn't say anything. So I got up and I left.
Mm-hmm.
And she kind of puffed and followed me. And as we're walking out the door, I said, see, never call my bluff. And then we leave. And right outside, I saw this bumper sticker. It was something anti-George Bush. And it said something like, I hate Bush. And I commented. I said, oh, look, it says I hate Bush. And she didn't hear that. She was still thinking about the other thing I said. So she said, well, no one ever calls my bluff. I thought she said, no one ever talks to my bush. So I leaned down and I went face first in her crotch. I went, well, hello, Mr. Vagina. How are you doing? And I thought this was hilarious. Yeah. And I look up and she was fucking horrified because this is like a second date and I'm talking to her pussy already.
Yeah.
But then we got married.
Oh.
No, I'm kidding.
And here she is.
She's right over there.
That's funny.
No, that was a true story. Like, I was like, wouldn't it
it's funny, right? Because you miss, you know, like, I remember one time, somebody, well, the joke is, I go, I tried to buy an oscillating fan. They didn't have anybody, so I bought an ovulating fan. It kept breaking down once a month and got this attitude, honey, I ain't blowing for no one.
How funny.
And I'm like, nutsack, baby, nutsack. Yeah.
That's a funny bit.
Right?
That actually is very,
yeah.
It's silly, but it's
but fun. Yeah, because somebody said oscillating fan, and I thought they said ovulating fan, and that's where the joke came up. That's I was like, funny. Oh, it sounds like ovulating, whatever.
It's very funny.
Yeah.
Right? So, yeah, so it is actually, it's...
Okay, we got our son in Taekwondo, and here's a joke that, because it's expensive, those classes are
whenever,
expensive.
Whenever there's just a little flub of I got a bit, don't worry, I got a story to put in here, Flip.
I got we'll a, save you. Yeah, because it's expensive, and I go, I think that's what they call it, because it's Taekwondo. The guys in the instructors in the back of the room rubbing his fingers together like, do, pay me money, yeah.
I love Dick Taekwondo. Did you ever take any martial arts? Because you're in pretty good shape.
No, I didn't. But I thank you. I do the I run the stairs. And I do push ups and I added pull ups to my routine. And you know, all of May I try to do 200 push ups a day, which got old after about the third day. I'm like, oh, I'm getting too sore. You got to space it out.
Yeah, I try to. Because Darren gave me some great advice one time. He's like, you know, dude, just before you go on set, if you have like, you know, 20 seconds, just do like 20 push ups just to keep.
Yeah, it's true.
I find myself doing that a lot. But that's like,
why do you push ups the morning when do them right before you leave the house? You know, the way you're kind of buffed up for an hour.
I do them usually before I go on stage, like on the headliner set or something.
Yeah.
I'll just do like pump out 20, 25 sets, just get my blood pumping.
What if you got so sore that you couldn't even take the mic out of the mic stand?
If I got sore after doing 25 push ups, I got worse problems than
Can somebody spot me? Get this mic out of the mic stand.
Yeah. I don't want to tell my jokes. Just play my CD and guys, you listen. I'm going to take a nap. This chair is so fucking comfortable.
I know, those chairs. That's why I didn't want to sit in them.
I can't move. I feel like I'm being eaten.
It must feel so good, those chairs.
Do you want to sit in the chair?
No, because I'll get sleepy. So like this, I mean, this couch is comfortable, but I can imagine what those, you know, like, they look like red velvet cupcakes.
They are.
I feel like before you leave, you must try them.
I will. Are they identical?
Yeah. Yes.
Wow.
2 for 1. Buy one, get one free.
Oh, let's not go. We're recording this, honey. We don't want. Now let's tell you about us, our shopping life. We went shopping for furniture. Isn't this
all interesting? I have to say, it's pretty funny that we put into the universe that we wanted a fucking recliner, and we walk into Ashley Furniture, and there's a huge sign that says "Buy one, get one free."
Awesome.
Are you into? Are you into that kind of like law of attraction?
Yeah.
Like,
oh, the secret.
The secret.
Yeah. Let me ask you before we go any further. When you recline it, does it go pretty far back?
Watch this.
Wow. That's cool.
I'm sleepy. I'm already sleepy.
I'm doing some of the
podcast. I seriously
I'm
fell
like
asleep before
back.
You guys came here in this thing.
I saw you fall asleep.
That's great.
I'm literally lying down in my recliner right now, people. I don't mean to make you jealous, but this is fucking comfortable, dude.
That's awesome. You're going to sit there and read and imagine all this stuff.
Dude, it's look at the TV. Look at the angle.
Oh,
I got the fucking spot, man.
You're living the life.
It's fucking shit.
That's a great spot. You know what?
I've got the breeze by the window. Don't knock my chair.
You can have that.
That's so cool.
I'm going to get too into the chair now.
Yeah.
I will.
It's our brand new splurgy purchase.
The podcast will just be about the fucking chairs.
That's good. Now, how about your iPad? Because I have the iPad too, and I love looking at my iPad and sitting in my recliner because it's so light, and it's like I can watch my movie right in front of me.
He has his own little station right there with his iPad charger on his table, and my station has my vaporizer. You know, we've got our addictions covered. His iPad. That's hot.
Cool. Yeah, I know. I love with the iPad. The iPad, I mean, she hates it. She fucking hates it.
I don't like it.
But I love it. It's
you don't like having an iPad?
I don't use it. I mean, I don't know. I think I'm frustrated by all technology. Yeah. I'm like Mrs. Boycott. But I have an iPhone 4, so I can't really. I use it for the FaceTime abilities. When you go out of town, it's nice that we can do that.
There's a lot of cool apps with the iPhone because I have a Droid, which I love. But my buddy has the iPhone. He's really good at like the pictures with Instagram and all these cool like photo things he does. And
I've not gotten into the Instagram thing.
Siri? No, let me ask you about your iPad, too. Are you, any cool things that you've picked up on it in the last 6 months since we talked about iPad technology?
Wow, so much. Where to begin?
The new Angry Birds, don't forget.
You know what I've...
Where can I watch movies? Where can I stream? I got Netflix. Is there anything else that you'd recommend? Where
I was going to tell you, I have that program that I got that turns any DVD into an iPad movie. So, like, all my DVD collection, I just throw on the computer, 5 minutes, it's an iPad movie, and I could take it with me on the road.
Wow.
Like, that's what I love
about
it.
Is it called Popcorn or Handbrake?
I think it's just called... it's just called DVD to iPad. I forgot the name of the company. I could tell you the name of the company before you leave. But no, as a comic, you're on the road all the time. It's great to just have. I have like 24, 25 different movies to choose from, and
that's cool.
Get to check the email. And you're right; it's like in this light thing. And yes, it's probably giving us cancer, and the camera's probably on all the time, spying on us while we're masturbating to iPad porn or whatever. But I don't care. I thought about that the other night. I was holding the iPad in my hand, and that little dot at the top of the iPad where the camera is.
Yeah.
I'm like, just because I'm not using the camera, how do I know it's not still recording me and sending all this shit to Apple or the government?
I very often see that the Skype camera, it turns itself on when I'm not using it.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The blue light will come on, and I'll be like, I did not opt for this to happen.
Wow. It probably comes on when you turn the computer on or something.
No, it has nothing to do with that. I leave the computer on all the time. It'll just randomly turn on.
Well, then the government's watching us.
Might be.
No, but you ever, like... I mean, it's true. You ever...
That little green... Because usually the green light bulb comes on, right? On your camera, on your laptop or whatever. Like, there's a light bulb that comes on when you're recording.
Oh, yeah, on the laptop or something. Yeah, but I mean, the iPad, it's just that one little thing, and it's staring at you the whole time.
Maybe you could put tape over it. Then you're being paranoid.
Because of... Might not be a bad idea. Though.
You're being paranoid now. You're just not following through with your paranoia.
I mean, it's just... It's
probably being watched. Oh, well, fuck it.
Probably being watched, but I don't care.
Well, it is pretty funny that everything's got a little camera on it now. I mean, if you think about it that way, everything's got a little camera. And it wasn't enough that we had a camera to be able to take a picture on the other side of the phone. Now we have to have a picture. We have to have a camera facing us. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just cameras everywhere. Who knows?
Yeah. But, I mean,
this conversation is probably being recorded right now.
It is being recorded.
I know, by some unknown source.
Or known source. Someone in this room is probably recording this conversation.
Ignore the red light on that thing right there.
So I shouldn't smoke any more pot then.
And the levels on this microphone.
I would hope you'd smoke pot.
Oh, shit. Oh, I hate when that happens. Describe what just happened. Flip Schultz just leaned forward and a painful thing. Oh, my gosh. I hate when that happens. Oh, boy. He had earbuds in both ears. And somehow,
I moved my feet, and little did I know my earbud wire was tangled up in my feet. And I like moved my foot, and it ripped the earbuds out of my ears.
Oh god!
My earbuds,
which is a really shitty movie, by the way. Earbud was awful. It's just an hour and a half of a dog listening to music with headphones on. It was a waste of money.
You are precious.
You know, speaking of films. Darren actually got to do a scene with John Travolta.
It was a massage scene.
Nice.
No.
Was he trying to get shorty?
Trying to get shorty. And I'm like, yo, bro, be cool.
Nice.
No, I was in Be Cool with John Travolta. It was awesome. I mean,
that was Barry Sonnenfeld, right?
Yeah.
Which is funny because I was actually in a movie that he directed too.
F. Gary Gray actually did ours. F. Gary Gray.
Oh, Barry Sonnenfeld did the original.
Sorry, he did the original.
My bad. F. Gary Gray. Right. So now tell me about that. Like Travolta, it's fucking Travolta.
It was great. It was great. The audition was great. The callback was great. The director was nice. I get to the scene. I get to the set. First day it rained out, so I still got paid, but I had to go home. I come back the following week to do the scenes, and you know, get on set, and then John Travolta was the last one to get on set, and he pulled up in a. Sort of a nondescript, windows are all blacked out, like SUV. And you could tell there was a buzz coming, like, oh, John Travolta's here. And we shot the scene, I want to say it was on Beverly, not Melrose, but what's the next street over? Is it Beverly? It goes Santa Monica, Melrose, and I think it's Beverly.
Beverly, yeah.
Yeah, and it was on Beverly and, I don't know, like somewhere in there. Like, oh, gosh, like Fairfax or someplace. And when he arrived on the scene, it was so cool, man. He kind of had that vibe of when I just seen Primary Colors at the time, and so he kind of reminded me of his Clinton character. When he got on the set, he was like, "Hey, how you doing?" He knew people's names. He's like, "Hey, it's good to see you, Flip. All right, Allison. Did you have a nice weekend?" I mean, he didn't talk like that, but he kind of remembered. He was like, "Hey, all right, hey, good to see you." And I met him, and he was very, obviously super professional, and everyone knows it's like the man. Like, here's John Travolta. I mean, this is like the lead in this movie, and you know,
it's fucking Travolta.
Yeah, and when I'm looking at him, I'm like, whoa, there's like, you know, the dude from Grease and Sandy, and and then the Sweat Hog, and I know he's done a ton of other shit after that.
But that's what you grew up on. That's
you're like, oh my gosh, it's like Vinnie Barbarino, like right here, and fucking.
Danny Zuko, holy shit.
Yeah, it was awesome, man. He was just so good, nice guy. And I know this whole thing about the massage stuff. I don't know. Hopefully it's just a rumor and it's bullshit. And
I've heard that this is rumors. I'm not going on record saying this in any way, shape, or form. But I've heard from people on the inside that, he goes the other way, too. But whatever. I mean, I wouldn't care. He's still a great actor.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, a lot of the people in this world would, for whatever reason, hold that against him or find that to be a negative thing.
Yeah, they're really trying to take him down now, it seems like. It's like, God,
they
what
always
happened?
Do that. They
there's all our, Mel Gibson, well, he did it to himself, but it's like, there's a lot of people that were up there that are,
Well, look at Charlie Sheen, man.
Yeah, Charlie Sheen.
Charlie Sheen was up, and then he had this, whatever you want to call it, we'll just say public meltdown, for lack of a better term. And everybody
just
loved
a rock star status. I mean, he just did it like any other rock star would.
Yeah, but the public didn't know that side of him, I don't think, really. And I think they love seeing him fall because they love watching a train wreck. And now that he's coming back up, it's like he never loses support. It's very funny.
Yeah.
It's like people, but you're right. People want to either bring you down.
Yeah.
But then love to see you run. Robert Downey Jr., same kind of thing.
Right. Oh, yeah. He did make a big comeback.
Yeah. I'll say Christian Slater hasn't really come back, but
yeah,
I always like Christian Slater.
Some of the people, like I almost get a little bit mad. Like, it's like, man, you guys, you don't know how good you have it. You have this great opportunity. Why are you fucking it up? You know how many people like you and I, like comedians and actors, that would love to have some of these opportunities that these guys have, and then they just kind of blow it away.
I think it's all, like, it's easy for us to say that, but we don't know what they go through behind closed doors as far as temptations and pressure and stress. That's got to be a lot.
That's true.
Yeah, Carlos has a lot on his plate with Big Daddy and Brother Bear.
Carlos?
That's his real name.
Big Daddy and Brother Bear. What the fuck
do you know?
That
Charlie Sheen's real name. Charlie Sheen's real name is
Carl. But what is Big Daddy and
Big Daddy Martin Sheen and his brother's career? He's always been living in the show.
Films he did, like Brother Bear and Big Daddy. Like, what the?
She means Emilio Estevez and Martin Sheen.
I'm starting to fade away.
Was he with Adam Sandler and a voice in that cartoon?
You said that we don't really know what they go through, and so he's lived in a family
Big
of
Big Daddy and Brother Bear and Mama Bear and the Goldilocks and the
Berensteins,
the Berenstein Bears,
the Baron Joe. This guy.
All right, before because I think we are what? Oh my God, it's 2 a.m. Everybody, this is fun though.
Fun, very fun.
This is fun. Are you winding down, by the way, from the show?
I am. Which is good, because otherwise I would just be up at the house. Like, don't you do that when you come home? You just can't go right to sleep. You're online. You're checking stuff out.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you're using your spent energy here. Before I go, I'm going to try something new. I'm gonna say that this is an idea that I had when I heard you were coming over, and I wanted to kind of throw a little flavor into the podcast. So I'm going to do something called the Skippy Green Moment.
Now, my friends, it's time for a game. Hosted by a man who has no shame. He can be filthy, rude and mean. Here comes your pal, it's Skippy Green.
Darren Carter, I have one question for you, okay? And you have to answer this question in 10 words exactly. Not 9, not 11.
9/11. There's a theme here. 9/11. We brought that up earlier. Sorry, Skippy. Don't mean to interrupt. Okay.
Never interrupt, you racist communist. 10 words. Ten words.
10 words.
Not 11. Not 9. Dick.
He's Darren.
Yeah, Dick and Darren.
Sorry.
Unless my dick's in your mouth, you keep your mouth shut. You answer this question, okay?
Yes. Yeah, I'm listening, okay.
As a comedian, who was the best piece of ass you ever got on the road and why? 10 words exactly.
The year was 1991.
We'll count 1991 as one word.
Counter. How many words are we at?
The year was 4.
The year was 1991. Pocatello, Idaho. Backstage. I. Richard Pryor. I don't know what this is doing. I can't think of anything.
I, Richard Pryor.
I was trying to get the Richard Pryor.
That's the best piece of ass you've ever
so
had.
So you fucked Richard Pryor back in 91 is what you're saying. Darren, you heard it here. Darren Carter fucked Richard Pryor back Ebony in 91 in Idaho.
Ivory.
I don't know what Richard Pryor was doing in Idaho.
Judy Tenuta.
Joe, you fucked Judy Tenuta in Idaho.
Right in her tenuta?
There's something. There's some kind of accordion reference, and I was going to try to make an organ joke. She put down the accordion and started playing with my organ.
I think Skippy was being serious in his question, but
I know this hard. That's hard to do. Answer anything in ten words exactly. Ten.
Allison,
words.
Are you ready?
Uh oh.
10 words exactly.
Okay.
I know everything about you. What is your favorite dessert topping to put on a cock? 10 words exactly.
Depending on the night, chocolate, caramel, peanut butter, love juice smothered.
Now that's a fucking answer. No Richard Pryor, no Idaho. Just peanut butter and caramel on a cock, which is my favorite carnival food, by the way. Patent pending.
Patent pending. Darren, thank you so much for being on the show this week, man. Plugs?
Thank you. Thank you. You know what? Guys, go to iTunes and download my... Please, if you would like to, I'd love for you to...
It's a very, very funny podcast, guys. I definitely recommend you guys checking it out.
Yes.
I've had the pleasure of being on it a couple times. I'm sorry, keep going.
Dick and Darren Comedy Podcast, which is totally free. And if you want to throw me a few dollars, I have 2 CDs. One's called That Ginger's Crazy, and the other one's called Shady Side. And it would be fantastic. And as always, you know, thank you guys for supporting comedy and listening to our podcasts. And thanks for knowing what a podcast is. Like I said, I like that.
So we don't have to explain it to strange men in Best Buy.
Yes. Thank you for putting us up in your ear hole. And we hopefully entertained you guys for the last hour.
Yeah. Yay. Absolute. And
follow me on Twitter. I'm at Darren Carter. At Darren Carter.
And Facebook? And
yes, Facebook. Facebook, not so much. I don't care about that. But I can't accept friends anymore because I'm capped out. So
I started a second page. That's how much I love my friends.
That's great.
Darren Carter doesn't love you people on Facebook.
I do love you, but it's like I feel embarrassed where I got to be like, I can't accept your friendship. Be a fan of mine and like me. I just feel like it's too needy and I feel like a dick doing it, but... But Twitter, you can do what you want. You can just follow me on, you know, it'd be awesome.
Well, there you go. Fuck Facebook and follow him on Twitter.
Yeah. Tell me that you heard me on Flip Show. What's it called again? The Dinner Show? What's for dinner?
What's for dinner?
What's for dinner? What am I doing here?
No. Glad you know the name of the show you're on. Yes. Yeah.
One day I'll actually make dinner as promised per the initial agreement. What's for dinner?
That sucks. The guests come on the show. What's for dinner? And then they get back in their car. What the fuck? I didn't even get to eat.
I've threatened a bottle of steak. Water. I've threatened to make steak.
She's actually threatened
past.
To make steak for guests. So she'll cook a dinner.
That's cool.
Fucking do it. Don't threaten.
Amazing.
Oh, can I tell you guys something? I read something, some helpful hints in life.
Yes, and, please do.
They said what you should do is when you have to be somewhere, like you got to go to work or whatever, get ready, take a shower, and then give yourself a half hour before you actually have to leave. So let's say you normally are like, I got to be out of the house by 8. Well, sometimes you're showering, you're drying off, you're rushing, and it's like 7:59 or it's even 8:05. You're like, fuck, I'm always late. But if you got ready and you were completely ready to leave at 7:30, but then you still have another half hour just to chill. Then they said you go throughout the whole day without feeling rushed.
See, you can fit in your time to masturbate and everything. It'd be perfect.
Listen, you're talking to a guy, and as a guy, I'm always ready, like, early.
That was the big hint towards me that I need to... Hey, I'm pretty good about getting to the place right at the moment that I'm supposed to be there.
I gotta be
Not
honest,
a second
I'm,
or late.
I'm always running late. I'm always like, You know, I'm like, oh, I got plenty of time. And next thing you know, I'm like shaving and I'm showering and I'm like, oh, gosh. And I'm like trying to dry off. And then, oh, where's that thing at? And I'm like looking for something. And then, you know, I think I'm going to leave the house by 8. It's like 8:15. I'm like, fuck, you know, like, want to, you know, goodbye, Austin. I give my kid a hug, and it's so cute. I'm like, give me another one, fist bump, high five. And I'm like, and I get sidetracked. I'll put my wife off something good on TV, and I'm like,
that's
what are you
why
watching?
I don't have kids, so I don't get sidetracked.
I got the, I don't know, it's like the ADD or whatever, and then I'm like running downstairs and trying to get there, and it's like, oh.
No, but that's a really, really good piece
supposedly,
of advice.
Supposedly, but yeah, I'm going to try this, though, where you get ready a half hour, and then that way you're not rushed.
This way you don't have stress in your life, either. Yeah. You've made less stress. It's all a matter of
time's
an
illusion,
half an
anyway.
Hour. It's true. Listen to this guy.
Time's an, that's a great one to tell you, like, you know, why are you late? Bro,
time's illusion.
Time's
an illusion, man.
Time's just a figment of your imagination.
I've been here for 300 years. Where have you been?
Illusion.
And they say in the corporate world, if you're on time, you're late. If you're early,
you're on time.
You're on time. And if you're late, don't even bother coming in.
Yeah,
that's why I like being a comedian.
And I don't even know if that's what they really say in the corporate world. I saw that on a sitcom.
Yeah, like, that's sort of the way it is. I mean, like, because you, the way that they look at it is that you need to be there a little bit earlier than start time, because mm-hmm. start time is you must be in your desk and working, and they know that most people, when they get to work, have a couple of minutes of meld into the situation.
They grab a coffee, use the restroom.
Grab a coffee, talk to the person, yeah. You know, did you like the ball game? Yeah, blah, blah, blah. And then you can start working. So they always say to be there 5 minutes early. I was in the working world for a long time before I dabbled in this.
Yes, you were, my dear, but I'm glad you crossed over from the dark side to the fun side of the force. And look at that. Thought the show was over, and Darren comes out with some words of wisdom. That's what's great about having the party starter. Party's always going.
That's right. People oftentimes will go like, hey, how come you're not going to go party with us? I'm like, dude, I don't really attend the parties. I just start them.
Last question. Did that just kind of come to you, the Darren Carter party starter?
Yeah, I used to be a DJ in Fresno when I first started.
Shut the fuck up.
I was, I know.
That's how you got the character, man.
That's right. B95, Fresno's killer bee. My bee lines are open. Be the ninth caller. Don't get stung. I don't know whatever the fuck I would say. But then, don't get stung. Our bee lines, like our phone lines are so silly. And
I'm fixing my hair. I'm using a honeycomb.
I'm fixing my hair. I'm using a honeycomb. I like that.
I'm getting my buzz on.
I swear I'm going to kick all your beehives.
Beehives. You like bees? Bees nuts. No.
But that's where you came with, was your radio name, Darren Carter, the party starter?
Yeah, because I was like, I was thinking, should I go with a fake name? Should I go with, you know, and I remember they would just, I don't remember exactly how it came out, but I think they would just be like, it's Darren Carter, party starter. And then I would do it, I threw that on the air a couple of times, and I think I did it on stage a couple of times. And I'll never forget, I was in San Francisco at the Punchline, and I only said it a few times, but it was one of those things where it was kind of catchy.
Yeah.
And Margaret Cho, which I didn't even know she really knew me, but she saw me, and she goes, hey, Darren Carter, party starter. And I was like, wow, maybe I'm onto something. So I'm like an idiot. I stopped saying it for 10 years. I didn't even say it anymore. I used it for a couple of more shows, and I stopped. And I don't think I brought it back in my act until, I don't know, when did I bring it back? Like 10 years? Maybe when you, was I saying it when you?
When I first met you, yeah.
Then, yeah. Because for a while, like an idiot, I was going by the Rooster. I was like, it's Darren Carter. But then I'd be like, remember that? Which is stupid, because then I'd be on the marquee, I'd say Darren Carter, and then people were like, hey, when's the Rooster going to be performing there? And I'm like, it's me. So then I was putting Darren the Rooster Carter, which sounded like I was some sort of like Mexican welterweight boxer, you know.
Yo, I like the Rooster in the third round, man.
I know. And then when I first started, even before that, I had this guy we used to call him a comedy pimp. And he was like, it was a really cool guy. He would give us $25 even when we started. And he was like, no, he was a black guy. His name is Mr. E.E. And he was like, man, you know what you are, man. He goes, you got to get a hook, man. I go, I know, I'll call myself Shamrock. And he's like, no, Shamrock's a green, you red. You're going to be, he goes, your comedy name is Simply Red. And I was like, no, I think there's already a Simply Red.
There was a band.
Yeah, right. Right. And then he goes, man, you'll be the Simply Red of comedy. I'm glad I didn't listen to that advice. You got to be your name.
Simply Red of comedy.
Yeah, that's so dumb. I mean, that's not nothing against him, but that's just like, yeah.
Yeah.
I think just go with your name.
Unless you're like a black urban comic and you get away with like, yo, Simply Red, Earthquake, Shakalzuku, Bakapugu.
Here he is, White Shoes. You know, hamburger. You know? Hamburger.
Is there a comic name?
Yeah, it's a comic called Hamburger.
Shut the fuck
up. Hamburger.
Oh, that's
He says hamburger after all his punchlines.
You just worked with, what was his name?
Hot Dog.
From El Paso?
Oh, Longhorn.
Longhorn.
Oh, well, really? There's a comic named Longhorn. Longhorn.
He lives, I think he's...
That's not what the ladies say.
That was very funny. He was, he was actually, I think from St. Louis.
A black comic named Longhorn.
Yeah. Cowboy. Black cowboy
that's
named
cool.
Longhorn.
A black cowboy.
Does he live there, or is he just passing through?
No, just passing through.
That's cool. I like that.
Have you ever done El Paso?
Yes.
Comic strip?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the closest to Mexico, or at least, what is that? Juarez, I think I ever want to get
yeah,
to.
Yeah.
It was weird. You can look over the highway and just see, like, the most dangerous town in the world.
Yeah. It's really weird. It's true. Weird.
Yeah.
Because El Paso is relatively safe. I looked it up, and then Juarez is, like, not safe.
Well, they say El Paso is the second safest city in the country, Juarez the worst, most dangerous city in the world.
Gosh. That's crazy. You're right. And then I think, oh, God, there's another town that's, like, Calexico or another town that's, like, no, or Phoenix, I think.
Phoenix.
Some kind of crazy town. No, maybe it wasn't Phoenix. It was like, it was Juarez and then the most American city that was, I don't know, whatever. I heard it one night on late night radio.
Like the worst town in America?
Dangerous towns or something. Or,
I would
or,
guess
wasn't
more
there
Miami.
A place in New Jersey?
Or Detroit maybe.
I thought
huh?
Camden,
maybe
New Jersey. I heard Camden, New Jersey.
I thought you said Canada. I'm like, that's not dangerous.
No, I swear, at some point, there was one year.
What's up with Florida? You're from Florida, right?
Yeah.
Bath salts. You know about this bath salts thing, right?
I've heard about it.
Oh, it look, that whole thing, they literally blamed it on three different things in the first 3 days. They were like, bam, it's fucking bad LSD. The next one was cocaine psychosis. And the next one's bath salts.
Are you talking about the cannibalism thing?
Yeah. Well, I mean, the whole bath salts thing, that's been like kind of a recent battle. So what's funny is that the battle, like reading in the news, especially like working in the pot industry, you just pay attention to all these stupid little like spices and things that are passed around and used as drugs. And the bath salts thing has been like the big battle nowadays. Mm. And all of a sudden now
people
we have
people are trying
this
to get
situation.
High off bath salts, right?
But it's not actually bath salts, right?
No, it is bath salts.
Oh, it is. It really is. I thought that was like code name.
No. Because you can buy it at a store because it's a bath salt. And then people freaking smoke them or whatever.
It's like crystal meth
for people that can't get it off the real street or whatever.
It's weird.
But really? The idea
he was totally stripped
was
naked because I guess he was hot. Like his internal organs were super hot. And he was trying to like, and then he started eating that guy like it was a roast. It's weird.
But the other thing is,
like,
is that
it was a roast. Like he's eating him and then making jokes about him too.
But the other thing
is,
your
wife.
But if you think about it, they were trying to demonize something. It's not like they found out for sure it was bath salts. There's no proof of what this guy was on. There's no proof of it, at least for the moment. I haven't found out if the toxicology reports have been released. But cocaine's already bad. We already know it's bad. LSD's bad. We already know it's bad. But bath salts is the new thing on everybody's like little roster of what they want to make illegal, and they're trying to take it away as of the last like 6 months. So how perfect that a situation where somebody's in this drugged, crazed or whatever crazed situation, and you blame it on bath salts. I don't think it's necessarily true that that was what he was on. I still think it's a bad thing.
You know what I blame it on? The alcohol.
There you go. I'm curious to find out if they're going to even release what those real toxicology reports are about. Because that's
probably not.
That doesn't like happen. There's been plenty of reports of people doing crazy shit on bath salts, but
there was a rumor floating around for half a day that said the guy was just frustrated that he didn't know what the fuck a podcast was.
Ah! Last seen in Best Buy talking to a redheaded man.
Arr, arr, arr.
What the fuck's a podcast?
He's kicking around a poor old bum. What is it?
What the fuck?
Well, I think ending on a cannibalism note is a good way to call this show. This has been, I almost don't want this to end, but I think everybody's really tired.
If it took you 2 days to listen to this, thank you for listening to the second half.
Seriously.
I really appreciate it.
Seriously, guys, this is, trust me.
It's been a real treat to come here and to be a part of this. And this is great, man. This is the future. We're able to like record shows in the living room from two recliners and a couch. And
We should take a picture of this. I could post this up at the podcast.
So eventually, imagine like making like. What if you guys could make like great like make a living off this? Wouldn't this be awesome to like?
Just let me come over and hang out.
Do stand up when you want. Do podcasts when you want.
I'll be honest, man. I'm happy with the living I have now, man. Like this is. I mean, Yeah, I don't. Yeah. It's not a mansion or anything, but I love our place, you know, and this is all from comedy.
Yeah.
Like I had that epiphany like a month or so ago. Yeah. I'm kind of sitting here going, this is all from comedy.
Yeah.
I don't have a fucking like corporate job or whatever. There are people who live in places like this who bust their ass. And
yep.
I'm not mocking it or anything. I'm just saying I'm very lucky that I'm able to provide this just from comedy. You know, I don't have to worry about, you know, knock on wood right now. I don't have to worry about or ever knock on wood about, you know, having to get a job to subsidize, blah, 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 blah. You know, so I'm if my life is this, I'm very happy, you know, and just and doing like, yeah, this pot. I didn't start the podcast for to try to, you know, be like this monumental, you know, Marc Maron kind of thing. I'm doing this because I was on a lot of them and I saw how fun it was. I'm like, fuck, I want to do one, you know, and this is just kind of for me and, you know, get to have friends over and talk. And if anybody's listening and they're enjoying it, that's just fucking bonus, man.
That's cool.
You know,
isn't it funny? Like you do what you love and the money will come. And we talked about that before, getting residual checks off our CD sales. We're like, whoa, I didn't even know I could do that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's really cool.
It's just the creating of abundance. You put it out there and you.
That's what you were talking about earlier, the secret or putting good vibrations or what did you say?
Not
good
vibrations. Law of attraction.
Law of attraction. Yeah. You guys wanted recliners and you found them.
Not only we found them two for one, buy one, get one free. Like that's the thing. It's not like we just walked into a store and they had some cool recliners. They're like, you buy one, you get a second one free.
Wow.
It's like.
And
fuck.
For whatever price range, like whatever we chose, it would just be one at the equal or lesser price.
Yeah.
Bam.
These were on a more the higher end, but again, like what the fuck? You know,
very
we
nice.
Wanted them, so we're going to spend the money anyway. Might as well go for the top. Although people are going to be like listening to this and like, send us pictures of this fucking chair, man. It's got to be the best.
Two for one, bro.
Ashley Furniture.
You must sit in it before you leave.
Yes. But I
if
think
you
we,
could pry me out of it.
I think we, no, you could take mine. I think we are going to say goodnight. But again, thank you again, Darren Carter.
Thank you. Thank
coming
you,
coming by, man.
Thank you. Do a fist bump on the air.
Fist bump. Boom.
Fist bump.
And, air fist.
Air fist. Far away.
Fist my wife. And Allison Weber, of course, my lovely wife. And she has her website, dirtyguitargirl.com.
Yay.
And she is on Twitter as well. What are you, Allison Comedy on Twitter?
Allison Comedy. Oh, God. I have not posted
L's.
One tweet ever.
Well, start getting on your tweet. Get off your feet. Get on your tweet.
Or you can find me on Facebook. I still kind of do that.
And yes, Allison's on Facebook. I'm on Facebook too. Flip Schultz. Facebook.com/FlipSchultz with the number 2 because I started my second page. Also, Twitter at Flip Schultz. Website, flipisfunny.com. Website for the podcast, whatsfordinnerpodcast.com. And please tell your friends to subscribe. And if you have a second or two, leave a little review on iTunes. I'd really appreciate it. And all my upcoming shows are on my website, but I'm not sure when this podcast is going to go up. So just go to the website and see where I am and come to a show. Say you heard it on the podcast and I'll give you a hug and a free CD. Oh, my God. I'll give you a free CD.
And go to Dick and Darren Podcast.
DickandDarrenPodcast.com, of course. And I'll probably be on their show with Allison soon. So get to hear the second half of whatever cannibalistic podcasting fucking thing.
Both on behalf of my good friend Flip Schultz, I'm Darren Carter. We'll see you soon on the Dick and Darren Comedy Podcast. And I got my own.
Are you taking over my podcast?
I got my own. I got my own sound
my
effect.
Own
watch, this is so cool. Thank you guys so much. We love you. Get your jollies.
Love.
That was great, man.
That's more my sound effect. Thank you guys very much. I'll see you later. Bye-bye.